Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Straightforward as we have a fright on the tyne, but we get the job done. We're through to the third round of the FA Cup. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez and we'll be looking back at Friday evening's 2-0 victory up at Gateshead in the second round of the FA Cup, safely in the hat for the third round. Draw coming up on Monday evening. Joining me to discuss that, first up, we've got Mr. Nathan Miller, who's thinking about pigs in blankets already. How are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, not bad. Can't beat a good sausage, mate.
But I was going to say, wrap anything in bacon and that always improves it.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, love it. Love it all day long. But yeah, sitting here with a nice bit of Malbec, mate, after making it nice and straightforward on Friday, wasn't it? So yeah, good, mate. Good to hear you both.
Yeah, and also joining us to discuss the cup win on a conference microphone. He's gone all professional, is Tom Wanning. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You enjoyed the game on Friday?
Missed it, as per.
As per usual.
Yeah, so... Yeah. No,
too busy wrapping stuff in bacon, or...?
Not this week, no, I left that to Nath, but obviously pleased with the win.
Excellent stuff. So on this evening's show then, we're going to hear the highlights very shortly. We've of course got some post-match reaction from the boss, Johnny Jackson. We've got your tweets and emails on it. We're also going to discuss the food bank that's been collected at the Valley over the next two games. And we're going to hear from Hamza Sarar, the under-18s boss, after the young lads progressed into the fourth round of the Youth FA Cup with a 6-0 win over Northampton. We'll look ahead to the Ipswich game as well, because it's another big game coming up against a managerless Ipswich side on Tuesday. So plenty to get our teeth into. Before we hear the highlights then, Nathan, of the game, I mean, we're joking aside, that was not the easy game that I think some Charlton fans might have thought it was going to be. And if Gateshead's had their shooting boots on Friday evening, this could have been a very different show that we'd be having this evening.
Yeah, they did. They had a fair few chances, didn't they? But I mean, we said on Thursday that at the end of the day, we've just got to be professional and try you know, try and do what we're good at. And I think at some parts we did. Yeah, there were going to be hairy moments, but there always are again in those sort of cup ties. They're going to have the crowd behind them. You know, it's a ground that they're used to. And yeah, they did have quite a few chances and we did get away with it a little bit. But our name's in the hat, not theirs. And wish them well for the next... for the rest of their season, because they're doing well. But yeah, it was hairy, but we never do it the easy way, do we?
Yeah, certainly didn't. Yeah, and I don't know if it came as a surprise, just you know, quite how good Gateshead were. I mean, if anyone, like we said on Wednesday's show, if anyone had actually seen their home form, probably didn't come as a surprise to us. But if there are any Charlton fans who were in any doubts as to their quality, I mean, we saw it. And again, you know, it was, Tom, I guess the difference between a league side and a non-league side tends to be how calm and cool you can be in front of goal. And you know, lucky for us, Jaden Stockley and Ben Perrington via Jaden Stockley were.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I said I missed the game. I saw a little bit of it before driving up to where I am now. So, and the bits I saw, you're totally right. We just had to be calm and do our thing. And we spoke about it on Thursday's show and said, you know, if we do our thing and if we do it right, we are the better side, we've got the better players and we'll win the game. But as you say, it's all about that temperament and about being patient and trusting the process. And we did that, as you say, they did have chances. They didn't make it easy, but we knew that that was going to happen. But when our chances did come, we took them and we were clinical. And a couple of moments of brilliance from Connor Washington to get that first goal, and obviously Stockley putting it away, and then the penalty as sorry, it wasn't a penalty, was it? But then the second goal as well. So yeah, all in all, a good day's work, and the most important thing was just to get through, and that's what we've done. So yeah, let's see who we get in the next round now.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, let's have a listen then to the highlights of the game from Charlton TV. Terry wasn't there. He's celebrating his 60th birthday on Friday, and he's celebrating it again tonight. I think by the time Terry's done with his 60th birthday celebrations, he'll be 61. But so the commentator on his own up at the Gateshead International Stadium was Greg Stubley.
That way for Charlton. On board in the pounds area, looking for Washington. It's a good pass. Washington controls. Out to Stockley. On his left foot, Jaden Stockley with a shot. It's comfortable for Chapman. That's the first real opportunity of the game for either side. Ollie. Inside to Scott. A good challenge by Perrington. It's only as far as Ward. To his right is Tinkler. Ball in the pounds area, looking for Ward, who controls. Goes back, and it's a nice turn. Shooting chance. And there's a shot which hits the side netting. You might have heard some celebrations. Calm down, Charlton fans. A good opportunity for Gateshead. I think it was Ward with the shot. Loops it long towards Campbell's touchdown. And now Langstaff trying to get behind Perrington on the right-hand side. In the pounds here. Ball across goal. Comes to Campbell. Takes a touch. Campbell with a shot. And it's over the bar. And potentially should have done better. Two Charlton players for company. Does well to clear it away. But only as far as Perrington, forward towards Washington, who's timed his run to perfection. Washington on the left-hand side, inside the pounds here. Washington, ball across. Can it find Stockley? It can! And Charlton have the lead through their captain, Jaden Stockley. Talked about the threat of Connor Washington. He timed his run to perfection. Drove the ball in the pounds here. Ball across. And Stockley converts. And the Addicts have the lead. Stockley's 12th of the season in all competitions.
Towards Stockley. Heads it on, but Washington can't get there. It's cleared forward. Dobson can't control, and Ollie picks it up. He's got Scott to his left. It's a chance. Campbell it is. It's a good save from Henderson. Campbell again and drives it wide. And again, Charlton get away with it. Adam Campbell it was. Fed by Ollie. And Henderson with his left hand did superbly well to keep out the initial shot. Came back to Campbell, who should have scored.
And there is the half-time whistle. It's after 45 minutes. As Gateshead nil, Charlton 1. It's not been the easiest game for Charlton so far.
Tinkler nutmegs Perrington and gets the ball back. Ollie lets the ball run, and it's a shot from Nicholson. It's saved by Henderson, and it should have been converted on the rebound by Langstaff, and he puts it wide.
But Charlton slow start the second half.
Stockley comes to Gilby inside the penalty area. First time with a shot. It was a difficult chance for Gilby as on the half volley. The ball bounced up, and Gilby took it first time. Over the bar it goes.
One-on-one against Nicholson. Jarsimi, step over, right through to cross, deflects back into his path. He's got two for company now. Ball forward in Perrington, it's a good one to Gilby. Gilby controls, reverses it to Washington. Connor Washington saved by Chapman. Back to Dobson with a shot. Cleared away.
Jarsimi, first time cross towards the near post. It's flicked on
and it's finished by Ben Perrington.
A man who just can't stop scoring at the moment for Charlton. He read the cross that took a deflection, and Purrington with his right foot gives Charlton a second. Cross from Gyasimi initially took a slight deflection on his way through a header, and Purrington read it and called it well. And while Gateshead have had a number of chances through this match, it's Charlton who have the 2-goal advantage.
Whistle. Elliot Lee steps up right footed over the wall and over the bar. Did leave Chapman scrambling for the time being.
Forward. It comes off of Gilby on the halfway line, held up by Blackett. The ball forward looking towards Langstaff. Can he get behind Alera? He can. Langstaff is over the bar. And once more, it's a chance that Gateshead have just wasted.
To take. Swings in towards the far post, and it's a header. Comes off the bar. Henderson with the second save. Comes down. Henderson with the third save. Chance still struggling to clear and do so through Davison.
I couldn't see who got the header. I think it might have been Williamson at the far post. It comes off the bar, and Charlton have Henderson to thank again. They're able to clear.
To shoot. He won't get a chance to do so. The referee blows for full time. Albie Morgan looks a bit annoyed, but Charlton won't care in the end. They're through to the third round of the FA Cup. You have to give credit to Gateshead, the hosts. They've put in an excellent display.
Thank you, Stubbers, for that commentary as the Addicts made their way through to the third round of the FA Cup. Nathan, it wasn't easy, but I mean, being clinical is what we were on the night, because we didn't really have a whole host of opportunities, particularly I think when by the time that Jaden scored our opening goal, that was arguably our first clear-cut opportunity of the night, whereas Gateshead had two or three at that point. But as I said earlier, that is the difference. I've seen so many cup ties between a non-league side and a league side where the underdogs, they can create chances, but they just snatch at them when they get them. And that was the difference that we saw on Friday evening.
Yeah, of course it was. I think, like you say, they snatched their chances a little bit, Gateshead. But, I mean, if they weren't, you know, if they weren't snatching their chances, or, you know, they had a player that was, you know, at a League One standard or higher, then he wouldn't be playing for Gateshead. So, you can only beat what's in front of you. We, like you said, we took our chances. Hendo made some good saves, which obviously tells its own story, which I was pleased for Hendo, going off a tangent slightly. But yeah, they're going to have their chances, and we did ride our luck a little bit, but you need luck in any game of football. And I know we've already said that multiple times, it's about getting into the next round. And because if we do, by a miracle, or I hope we do, get a big tie away and we win that game, or going to have be in with a, in the game against the top side, we're going to need a bit of luck on our side as well. And there'll be, so it swings around roundabouts. And but yeah, it wasn't comfortable to watch. It wasn't, but I was never going there expecting to win 5-6-7-8-0. So because they're doing well in the league. So yeah, it wasn't plain sailing. But Stockers and obviously Washington, two experienced players, done the job in the end.
Yeah, because I mean, in terms of a strength of side, Tom. I think I called for it on Wednesday's show. I wanted to see pretty much a full strength side, although with the caveat that I understood that we have Ipswich coming up Tuesday, so I wouldn't have been shocked if Jacko had made a couple of alterations to it. But you know, looking at that team, you'd argue, other than maybe Hendo coming in for McGovern, that it was pretty much the strongest side we had available to us. So it shows that Jackson wasn't going to be taking any chances, and considering how much of a game Gateshead gave us when it was our strongest side, it probably turned out to be the right decision.
100%, yeah, and you'd argue, wouldn't you, that Hendo is probably not far off the level of McGilvery. It's just that he's not our first choice. It was, I agree with you. Obviously, we did the show Wednesday, not Thursday last week, so one mistake already from me tonight. But yeah, I thought when we spoke about it last week, we did say we needed a good, strong side, and we thought Jacko would probably take it a little bit more seriously than Bowyer had in the past. But I was surprised by just how strong it was. But yeah, as you say, it turned out that it was necessary. And as Nath just said there, it was those sort of star players, if you like, who rose to the top and got the goals and got the quality moves that put us in front. So yeah, right decision. I mean, we'll have to see how it counts by Sunday once we've played Ipswich and Cambridge back to back as well. You know, if we're able to field full strength there, if we don't get any, you know, sort of fatigue injuries or anything like that, then we'll look at it as a good week's work. But obviously, hindsight is a nice thing, so we can't really worry too much about that at this stage. But the most important thing on Friday night was just to get through that round of the cup, which we did. And as you say, if we'd have played the youngsters, I think Gateshead would have given us a tough test, because in the bits of the game that I did manage to catch, they were moving the ball around very nicely. And I know they're a non-league side, but they didn't come across like that at all. So, yeah, I was really pleased that he's taking it seriously. Like Nave says, it would be really nice if we could just get like a nice away day or a nice big tie in the next round as well, because it's something certainly in my lifetime we haven't really seen. But as I said on Wednesday's show, the league remains our priority, and we have to just hope that playing such a full-strength side doesn't hinder us in the next two games. But as I say, we can't really tell, and we won't know that until after those games have taken place. But yeah, nice to have a manager that takes the cup seriously, for sure.
Yeah, and when it came to that opening goal, it was a lovely ball over the top from Ben Perrington into the channel. I think there were some appeals for offside from Gateshead, but Connor seemed to time his run perfectly. But then we saw that hold-up play that he does sort of sometimes have in his locker, Connor Washington, got to the byline, crossed it for Jaden Stockley, who's never going to miss from there. But, you know, I thought again, it just highlights and is so frustrating to think earlier on in the season when we didn't have Washington really playing that more central role alongside Jaden, because they play off each other so well, and we saw that for the opening goal on Friday evening, Nath.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were saying that when we were only playing one up top, it was like we were so isolated and there was not enough people in and around Jaden when he did win the flick on, or you know, if he did hold the ball up, there was too much of a gap between our midfield and Jaden. And since Connor's come in, he offers you that bit different. You know, he can go in the channels, or he can, if you know, you've got the defenders thinking, well, where's Connor? If you've got Jaden on his own, you know he's not going to go in behind you. You just play a higher line. And with Washington, he gives that little bit of a danger, and he done well to that run for the first goal. And in fairness, he done well to square it, because he could have tried having a pop there, you know, at a tight angle, because a lot of strikers do, you know, quite greedy and naturally. But yeah, great bit of play and nice little header from the old headmaster.
Yeah, he's never going to miss from there. But this obviously came on the back of the fact that we saw Gateshead have arguably the better chances of that opening half an hour. Chedwin Scott had fired an effort into the side netting. And then there was that one for Campbell as well, where he got picked it up from Langstaff's cross at the far side. Again, took a touch and maybe could have hit it first time. But even then, once he's taken the touch, you you would have fancied him to curl that under the crossbar. But these are where we're seeing like a Gateshead, you know, perhaps caught in the headlights a little bit in terms of their chances to finish and firing over. But as I said earlier, it wasn't an easy ride, and it could have been very different if Gateshead had taken the lead, because all of a sudden, if you're behind in a game like that, then that adds a whole new level of pressure to you, Tom, and we easily could have come unstuck there.
Yeah, again, I go back to what we said on Wednesday. We said that first goal was going to be important, because I'm sure our players were going to be nervous. They know they're probably the better players. They know that they're expected to win, but that brings its own pressure. So you come into a game like that, and as we said, everybody there, apart from the actual Charlton fans, probably wants the other team to win. You know, wants the underdog. Certainly felt that way with the way that Jermaine Beckford and Sam Matterface were commentating. So, yeah, you've got that pressure. And as you say, if you fall behind, that it only ramps up and you start to get those nerves and you start to think, right, we're going to be the headlines in Saturday's newspapers. So you have to get that first goal. And I saw a couple of those chances, that one that the guy put over from the back post, as you say, that was all about composure for them, and they didn't really have it. And that's probably, again, on the other end of that pressure spectrum. They're thinking about making the headlines for all the right reasons, and maybe just, as you said, I think rabbit in headlights a little bit. But when it came to us, you know, Connor got to the byline, he just didn't panic, he clipped that ball back in, and there was Jaden Stockley. And as you said, there wasn't much he could do wrong. There was no way that he wasn't going to score that goal. But at the same time, it was just good forward play from us and clinical finishing. And really, that's probably the difference between the two players. You know, I would imagine, I think one of the pundits pre-game said it on the telly, you know, those players at Gateshead probably could play a League One match, but they haven't got the consistency to play it week in, week out, whereas the Charlton players do. And that's exactly what happened. You know, when we had our chances, few and far between, we took them. And when they had theirs, unfortunately for them, they snatched at them, or they maybe panicked or rushed it. And that was the reason we took the lead. And as you say, from then on, I was never really too worried. I didn't think we would surrender it from that point forward. But it was all about that first goal. And as you say, once that went in, we could maybe just start to relax a little bit.
Well, I just wonder, I mean, if, again, we're looking at that chance I had at the start of the second half, you know, when Hendo was sort of down well to a shot, but it came straight out to Langstaff, I think it was, and he side-footed it wide from close range, Nath. And I mean, there was a few times where you felt like when if they sort of played the ball behind our back three and we were chasing it, that we didn't always look comfortable or sort of down the sides and crosses in. I mean, do you read too much into the fact that they did create a lot of chances? And we'll hear from Jacko in a few seconds. And it is very much a lose-lose situation for them because, you know, they've got through and we're still saying, well, actually, you know, for a Gateshead side who are 61 places, I think it was, below us in the pyramid, to have this amount of chances, we're asking questions now. You know, am I reading too much into it? You know, this was their, effectively, and you don't like to use this phrase always, their cup final, and they did throw everything at the game. And so do we just have to accept that they were going to have chances in this game?
For me, I think you do, yeah. I mean, if they were literally absolutely battering us and then we've come away with a 1-0 sort of go off of Jason Pearce's bum or whatever, then yeah, I could probably say that, yeah, I could read a bit more into it and go, oh, that's a bit worrying. But they're going to have chances, you know, like Tom said, the Chunk players were expected to win. It's probably an experience where they've probably not felt before, where they know that everyone wants Gateshead to win, apart from all the fans, saluting them, by the way, all the Chunk fans that went up there, and obviously the staff. So, they'll look over it like they do with any game. They'll review every game and see what they would do if they were too square. But yeah, they're going to have chances. You know, it's still 11v11 and anything can happen, which we all know. And if we get a nice, glorious tie, hopefully we'll have some of those chances going for us if we get a big tie. So, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it, but they've got to understand where it come from, especially the ones where it was too easy for Gateshead to carve us open a little bit.
I mean, we've got to look at the second goal, then Perberto Carlos again up there. And I was absolutely baffled when, you know, for all the world, it looked like it was Ben's goal. In real time, and then people started tweeting me saying that's got to be Stockley's, and I was like, he wasn't anywhere near it. I didn't realise he'd taken a touch off him on the way through. But, you know, so harsh on Ben. I'm sure he's not the character who mind too much about it, and great for Jaden to get another one to his tally. But again, it is all about Ben Purrington's attacking play in this wing-back position, getting into those areas, Tom, that Jacko keeps asking him to get into, and he's proving, you know, much to Nathan's dismay, a real asset in that role.
I'm pretty sure he's only doing it because of Nathan as well. So, yeah, cheers for winding him up, Nath. But, as you say, obviously the goal goes down as a Stockley goal. And I don't necessarily think that matters. I think for Stockley, that must be something like 10 or 11 in 11. So he's obviously on a good run. And that's what you want from your striker. As you say, for Ben, you know, goals aren't his or shouldn't be his business, although they have been recently. But for him to just be in that position and to be getting forward and even creating chances is exactly what we want from him. So the fact it's not his name on the score sheet as a team, I don't think matters. What does matter is the way he's been playing in recent weeks. And yeah, I know we've talked about him as this slightly more defensive player and this and that. I think that's slightly harsh. And I think really the only reason we've ever sort of pigeonholed him or whatever into that kind of mould is because he's been up against the likes of Jada Silva, who's come in, who was clearly an attacking wingback. And then when Purrington comes in, you're kind of comparing the two players. I don't actually think that Purrington was that far off in terms of getting forward. It's just that you're comparing him to someone who was much more attacking. But I definitely think Jacko in particular has kind of let him off the leash a little bit more and given him that licence to get forward. And Ben Purrington has proven that actually not only can he do it, but clearly he seems to enjoy doing it as well. So for the formation and the style we're playing, it seems to be working really well. And as I say, it doesn't really matter if it's his name on the score sheet or not, so long as it's a chart and goal. And this is the perfect example of that. I think he's been so good since he's been in that position. And I think we worried a little bit about that left back slot, and then Soiree came in and he hasn't really set the world alight. So for Purrington to really make that position his own now, I think even Nath would have to admit that we've got a bit of confidence in that left back or wing back position now, which we probably didn't have at the start of the season.
And now for the counter argument, Mr. Nathan Muller.
That is rubbish. I ain't joking.
Come on, Nath. Come on. You've got to eat some humble pie with your Malbec now, ain't you?
No, to be fair,
I
think it was a couple of weeks ago where I did say, like, I'm not going to go back on what I were because that's not who I am. I said a few weeks ago, or probably forever, that I didn't think he gave us anything attacking-wise. He always to go sideways or he never went forward. But since he's come in, I can't deny, and I'm delighted for it, by the way, because obviously we're winning. But he's improving and he's getting in right position and needs a lot of credit for that. And I'll be the first to say, like, I'm delighted, yeah. I may be, am I being proved wrong? Probably, because I didn't think he had it in his locker to get forward and score goals and chip in with assists, but he is. But, yeah, no, I think the wing-back role does suit him a lot better than maybe a left-back of a four. Because I don't think he's that sort of galloping, overlapping fullback. But with the wing back role, he's definitely got a lot more license. And he's popping up in the right areas. And that's what I said on Twitter the other day. Just shove him up front. He seems to be doing the job.
Yeah, he's certainly up there. I mean, it was a big game for Deji Eleruay on Friday night. And again, I mentioned a couple of times I felt like we got turned a little bit. And there's a couple of times he was chasing. There was one where in real time, and I was sat sort of in and amongst where the Gateshead fan was. It looks like he may have been holding the striker, although apparently on the replay it was like actually the other way around. But, you know, it was a tough evening for him, Tom. And these are the sort of evenings, you know, especially for a youngster who hasn't really been out on loan properly in a National League or a National League South side. To get some of that experience. And I think he would have learned a lot coming out of that game on Friday night, Tom.
Huge amount, yeah. And that incident you talk about is one of those sort of prime moments that for a young player, it's huge for him because he's obviously played a couple in the Pizza Trophy and he's played the odd game here and there. But even those, I don't know if he played against the under-21s or against the sort of men's sides in that tournament, but it's very different. The FA Cup, I know Gateshead are where they are in terms of their league or non-league position, but he's still playing against men. You know, they've got the player coach in charge, you know, used to play for Newcastle. These are proper footballers. And so to come up against players like that, and that incident you talk about, you're right, it was the striker who was pulling him initially. But those sort of grapples and those sort of battles, he's going to have to get used to. I remember, you know, we always said that Joe Gomez starting at somewhere like Charlton, you know, cutting his teeth in a league where you have to be physical like that was always going to serve him well. So, yeah, I don't think it's as easy as saying, look, we pick Deji because it's only a cup game and therefore there's less pressure on him. It's on the telly. He's against, you know, as I say, some strong, hardened professionals. It's still a very difficult game for him to cope with. And I thought, as you say, there were little moments, but I thought on the whole, he handled himself very well. And he's somebody, particularly with the amount of injuries we've got at the back at the moment, with Lavelle and Pierce and everyone at the back, and Innes, obviously, who've been struggling, then, you know, we might need to call upon him over the rest of the season. And Jacko needs to know that he can trust him. And I think a game like this was a nice mix of you're playing against lower league opposition, so that's a positive, but you're also playing against good, hardened professionals, so that's quite a tough ask. So I think for him to come out of that game with a clean sheet and with those incidents like that one we mentioned where actually he handled himself and he was able to stand up to it, I think that only serves him well. And as I say, particularly with the winter period and games coming thick and fast, I imagine we'll need him at times. And I think he's proven that he can be relied upon.
Now, I've never got an exact number of the amount of fans that went up there, but it was between 300 and 400, I reckon, Addicts fans at the International Stadium in Gateshead. I came back Saturday morning, saw a couple on my train, but you know, if anyone who went on the coach, dread to think what time they got back to South London. But you know, what an effort from some of those supporters, Nathan, who made the way up there, and duly rewarded with what I thought was a very entertaining cup game. You know, what it wasn't all our own way, certainly.
Yeah, hats off to every single one of them. You know, like I think when the results come out, I think we were talking, weren't we, on WhatsApp looking at train prices, hotel prices and everything, and I just couldn't really stomach doing a coach up there again since at the time we beat Newcastle 1-0 back in the Premier League days. I said I'd never get a coach there ever again because it was very painful for me. But yeah, like hats off to every single one of them, and I'm glad they obviously got a nice little win around it. If we do get a nice tie away next, obviously I think it'll 300 or more, whatever, should get priority and get those ones first. But I know that'll put me out of it, but never mind. But no, yeah, it's nice to see him up there, and it's a long way, cold, far away from the pitch. But the main thing is that they went there to see us win, and you know, that's what we did.
And we just have a word as well for Gateshead. You know, as I said, I think they're fifth in their league ahead of the weekend. If they'd won their games in hand as it stood, they would have gone top. So, and we can see why. I mean, they play a great brand of football. Their home form is excellent. Mike Williamson, the gaffer there, has obviously got them playing well, and their fans were brilliant as well. Everyone I spoke to up there was excited. It's nice to see as people excited to play Cheltenham, but you know, more so they were just excited to see the Heat in the second round of the cup with a chance to get through to the third. And you know, after all their ownership problems over the last couple of years, and we spoke with the Heat Army guys on Wednesday's pod, you just absolutely have to wish them all the best, Tom.
Totally, yeah. I thought the interview you did with them on last week was spot on, and I learned a lot about that. I wasn't aware of all the ownership troubles and stuff. So when you learn about that and you see the way, as you say, they were with our fans and everything, you know, they seem like a decent club, and you wish them well. And yeah, this was probably, as you said earlier, their cup final, although like you, I don't like using that phrase, but you know, it was a big game for them, and it just felt like a proper FA Cup tie, you know, to go to a ground like that against a team like that. Obviously for Charlton to win made a nice change, but yeah, all around it, I just thought was just a good FA Cup tie. And as you say, the brand of football they play, I can't imagine there's many down there that play like that. But again, as I say, that's that Premier League experience, and that's that knowledge. And he's got them playing a nice brand of football. And yeah, as you say, with the games in hand they've got, they might go on and get out of that division at the end of the season as well. So yeah, all in all, as I say, certainly from a Charlton side, just a good evening all round.
Excellent stuff. Right, then, let's hear from the Addicts caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson. He came out to speak to us after the cup tie with Gateshead, and this is what he had to say about it.
Yeah, and obviously that's the most important thing. We said, just coming here, that we need to be in that hat for the third round, and we've done that. But you're right in what you say. It wasn't an easy night's work. They're a good side, and they caused us a lot of problems on the night, but we're through, and obviously that's the most important thing.
You made it clear that you weren't going to underestimate them with your team selection. That's pretty much the strongest you could have put out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been saying it all along that I was going to take this game and these opponents very seriously, and I think it's a good job that I did, because I mean, we put a really strong side out there, and they've caused us a lot of issues on the night, and we've got the win, but it wasn't without, you know, its problems.
You certainly needed that goal to settle you down in the first half, because they'd had a couple of openings by that point.
Yeah, and I knew they'd start well. We had to be ready for that. They got great home form, and we knew that they'd, you know, come out and have a right go at us. And they did start bright. These games can be like that. And the first goal obviously does settle us down, and then we start passing it. But, you know, I felt like we could have done it kind of earlier and more throughout the evening, really. But yeah, these are always difficult games.
So I was going to ask you about Ben Perrington's extreme goal-scoring form, but apparently the second one's come off Jaden.
Yeah, I just heard that. From the bench, it just looked like Perrington had done what Perrington does and just popped up in his little back post position, and he's got good movement in the box. He knows where to be, he knows where the ball's going to land, and it looked like a good finish, but apparently, yeah, just got a little nick off Jaden on the way through.
Obviously, when you come to a side like Gateshead, you are flying. I guess when they come out of you, it can sort of unsettle your side a little bit. And is that how it felt at stages in this game? Because, as we said, they did have their chances tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lose-lose situation, kind of, because obviously we're expected to win. But, you know, you're very rarely going to come here and blow them away out of sight, because of the nature of the games, Friday night under the lights. And they're a good side. They've got some good players. They play the right way. I was really impressed with how they try and play football. And they had a few chances to score, didn't they?
And obviously now looking forward to the third round, you've got your eye on what sort of draw you'd like to have. I know you're an Arsenal fan. Is that up there?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said Arsenal away wouldn't be something special. And I think it'd be a great occasion for my players, for the supporters, something like that. So, but yeah, you know, we'll take whoever we get, big or small, we'll be taking it very seriously, like we did tonight.
And it is a quick turnaround now until Ipswich. And we did say you might have had that game at your back of your mind, so you did start making a few changes. But the most important thing was getting through and then concentrating on the Ipswich game after, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, we had to get through the tie. We've done that. I would have liked maybe to be a bit more comfortable, could have made some changes maybe a bit earlier in the game, but obviously at 2-0, and they're only a chance away from being right back in it. So we managed to get some changes in the end. Got Elliot off, got Albie on the pitch, and looked after him a little bit. You know, looked after Connor at the end there as well. So yeah, I think we can be pleased with our night's work.
Those fans getting back on the coach might be owned by the Ipswich game as well.
Yeah, it's a long way, isn't it? It's a long way. They might as well stay up, make a weekend of it. That's what I'd do, I think. But yeah, I just want to again thank them for their support. Brilliant to see so many of them here. Long, long way from South East London, isn't it? So to have their support, fantastic as always.
Cheers.
obviously, when you come to a non-league club, a lot of people think you're going to be facing a big front man long ball. Were you surprised by Gateshead's style of play?
I wasn't, because I'd watched them. I'd watched them, I'd done my homework, and I knew what they was about. I think it's really, really impressive the way that Mike's got them playing. I said that to him at the end there. It's you know, credit to him and his coaching staff and their players as well. And their supporters, you know, they got right behind them. I think they're doing a lot of things right, and I'm glad that they're doing well in the league, playing that type of style, and hopefully they can get promoted.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara. Now sends Washington on that right hand side. He's in space. Washington into the area he goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can! Oh, Connor Washington puts on, tune it up. And could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow is in the middle, but Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. That was Johnny Jackson we heard there just before the break. Chatting about the win up at Gateshead, very complimentary of the Heed, as we were ourselves just before the break. I mean, didn't bother asking for an update on his job because I've asked him about two times a week for what feels like a month now, Nathan. But, you know, that would have done him no harm. It would have been bad, I guess, if we'd gone on to lose that. I mean, obviously, we understand he's still in sort of negotiations with Thomas to get this contract sorted. And by the time you listen to this, maybe it will be sorted, and hopefully it will be. But yeah, he's we've probably said it every show for a number of weeks now. But the transformation over the last 6 weeks is something incredible, from, you know, an absolute ragtag outfit into a professional football club once more. We're just hoping now this is the start of really something special under Jacko.
Yeah, of course. I think, like you said there, you've seen obviously not only an upturn in terms of results. I know we had a couple of sticky ones up at Morecambe and Shrewsbury, but the way we're playing, it's a lot better. It's better to watch. We look like we're actually going to win a game of football nowadays. Everything seems to be working. I feel for him a little bit with the sort of injuries in the defensive line a little bit, but he's doing what he can, and he's getting a tune out of them. And I think it'll be a travesty if he doesn't get it. I don't know. For all we know, it might be that Thomas does want him to have it, and it could just be terms and conditions. I don't know, but he'll be mad not to get it. But again, I always look around and go, well, who else are you going to get? You know, like Jack knows the players, he knows their strengths, their weaknesses. It just makes sense. So winning that game doesn't do him any harm. And hopefully we get, with two home games coming up, we can put more pressure on for him to get the job full time, which surely is not too far away.
Yeah, I mean, I asked Jacko for an idea of what sort of team he wants in the third round. Obviously, I put it to him about Arsenal, with that being his side. But I mean, have you got an idea of what sort of draw you want in mind, Tom? Big club away or at home would be good. Another non-league side away would also be sort of spirit of the cup, I guess. But you know, what sort of thing have you got in mind?
Selfishly, I'd love to do Liverpool away. I've always wanted to go to Anfield. I never managed to go when we were in the Premier League, so I'd love that opportunity. I think, yeah, a big away day somewhere at one of the Premier League grounds. Again, purely selfishly, because I didn't really get to go to those away games when I was kind of growing up as a Charlton fan. That would be amazing for me. And if not, as you say, then someone non-league. The worst is when we get someone from our own league, particularly if we've just played them a week or two earlier or after, because it's just boring, isn't it? So even I'd take a Championship side or a League Two side, just somewhere that we haven't been before, so we can go to a new ground. And obviously, if you get someone like that, there's all the more chance of you getting through again to another round. So, yeah, ideal would be a big Premier League away day, but if not, then someone new or someone different that we haven't played for a while would be nice. Yeah. Not Huddersfield or MK or someone like that we keep always getting.
Yeah, we just drawn MK, haven't we, in the Pepperoni exactly. Trophy. Which yeah. I was, after all the excitement of Tuesday night and thinking, actually, we're only three games from Wembley, I completely forgot that draw happened and you had to look today to find out who we were playing. I completely forgot that was going on. Nath, I mean, the distraction of a cup run has been a problem in years gone by. Obviously, as we said the other day, it's not like we're flying in the league. We're hoping to play a bit of catch-up, but it is nice to have a little cup run. So it's not the end of the world if we get a winnable game and just to see how far we can get in the competition.
No, yeah, and similar to Tom, really. I think if we've got an inverted commas, a winnable game, then, you know, fair enough. But as we saw on Friday, that even though Gateshead was a winnable game, it wasn't plain sailing, and every game's going to be difficult. But again, it's been a few years now since, obviously, I used to follow us away from home in the Premier League. So it will be nice to go and do that again. I'd like to see, like Tom, maybe Liverpool or Man City, just to see Pep or Jurgen teams play, because really love how they do it. Maybe even a United, because last time I saw Ronaldo when he had that bit of spaghetti air when he was down the valley last time. But yeah, I mean, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We will get Huddersfield or Reading at home probably, but yeah, if we advance, great. If we don't, you know, if we get Man City, we ain't going to go up there expected to win. It's going to be for the day out and just to go and experience watching a team like that.
I mean, if it is Ronaldo, I do think we should see if we can get Radoslav Kishishev out of retirement just to give him another kick in as well. Right, let's have a look at some of the messages that have come in during the week. Alan says, fair play to Gateshead. They played really well. I think that we were a little shocked at how much they pressed us. It could have been a different game if we'd not put out a strong team. I want a smaller team so we can use squad rotation, as Xmas fixtures will take it out of us, and then get a bigger team in the round after. Paul says, a special shout out to the intrepid 17 that went up on the club coach. As I woke up in my hotel room in Newcastle on Saturday, I was pleased I wasn't one of the 17 going back. Yeah, I was the same. Like, so I was up early in Newcastle. I was up at 7 to get home on the train just before 8. And I was wondering, like, I wonder if the coach is actually home yet. And if it was, it probably wouldn't have been back that long. I mean, if there's anyone going back to Larkfield, they're probably getting back about now, aren't they, to how long they it takes them to get back. Right, Craig says that he'd played some good football, but it's difficult to look good as the bigger team in that situation. Hoping for a big team away or a big team or away to Palace or Millwall in the third round. I rate Deji, but I think he needs to develop. I would be keeping him away from the Ipswich front line on Tuesday. Interesting stuff. Right, next one comes from Steve in the emails. Professional performance from the boys, helped by some non-league finishing from the Heed. The worst performance of the night by a country mile came from Jermaine Beckford. Verbal diarrhea, cliche-ridding dross, no real insight, and couldn't even be asked to do his homework, unable to pronounce players' names, and only realising that Jason Newell was part of the Addict setup when he spotted him on the touchline in the second half. Good to see Graham Stewart, though, but straight red for Jermaine Beckford. Right, coming in, Nath, how bad was it then? Because obviously I wasn't listening to the commentary, but I was getting tweeted requests for me to go and somehow shut them up at some point. So, I mean, my assumption was, you know, and I've watched hundreds of these little FA Cup games on ITV or BBC where it's a non-league team against a League One, League Two team. And the reason you're watching it is because you want the non-league team to win. And that's the reason ITV were there. So I was wondering if maybe our fans were being a bit over-precious about them appearing to perhaps favour the idea of an upset. But was it really that bad? Were they throwing dartboards at Johnny Jackson in the commentary or anything like that? Or darts, I should say. No, throwing a dartboard would be harsh, but maybe darts at him.
Throwing a dartboard. But yeah, I know what you mean, but like you said, the whole reason that ITV were there were for the potential giant clean. They didn't go, oh, Gateshead and Cholton, that's going to be a blinding bit of stuff to watch on the eye. We'll put that on. So, but I can also understand, like, you could just tell it was obvious that, you know, that he wanted them to win. And you know what? You're supposed to be, as a commentator, sort of unbiased, right? Which is a bit rich coming from me. So I can't really say anything because when I've done it, I've not been unbiased at all. But I just think, like, for me, when I saw they come out of a video after, I thought, what are you doing that for? You know, like, I didn't lose any sleep over it, but I can, at the same time, it was a little bit annoying. But do you know what I mean? They are the underdog. And if we, you know, if we played Man City away and Beckford was on it and he was going, oh, go on, Cholton, like, we wouldn't be complaining. Do you know what I mean? So it's, I can see where people were getting the ump. But for me, I was just like, I don't really care. It's irrelevant for me. Like, I didn't see the need for him to come out and apologise, and I wasn't really offended. But each to their own, and we won anyway, so he didn't get the giant killing, did he? So
Nate's clearly forgetting the moment that Beckford punched Johnny Jackson in the face and said, I hate Charlton. So,
and then threw that dartboard at him.
Yeah, he's terrible. He's forgotten that bit.
Is that why he came out and did the apology video?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, was it that bad, Tom? I mean, obviously Sam Matterface was commentating from ITV, and at one point, apparently, Gateshead nearly equalised, despite the fact it was 2-0.
Yeah, I think, yeah, so my problem was more with Matterface. Beckford, like Nave said, he maybe hadn't done as much research as you would have liked or made a couple of errors and was certainly rooting for the underdog, and I don't blame him for that bit of at all. But he's also very inexperienced in his job and learning the game. Matterface, on the other hand, has been promoted to ITV's lead commentator despite the fact he's terrible and was just making basic errors. Now, look, I've done the odd bit of commentary for Charlton, obviously, and I'm sure I've made mistakes. I'm sure Terry and Greg make the odd mistake, but he's a professional. He's getting paid a lot of money, I imagine, to do his job. And for him, for me, it was inexcusable. But Beckford, I can kind of let off. So, yeah, you know, if you're going to be on telly, you have to put up with the commentators, don't you? I'm sure there's not a commentator in the world, apart from maybe, I don't know, Peter Drury or Barry Davis back in the day, that everybody likes. So you've just got to accept some criticism. But there's a reason that some commentators get more criticism than others. And I'll put it that way.
Excellent stuff. Right, next message comes in from Oliver. Says, massive fan of the podcast. Cheers, Oliver. On the victory over Gateshead, can we talk about how good Akinfenwo was? He played really well. I think it will go underrated. That was from Ollie. What did you make of Akin's performance on Friday night, Nathan?
I thought Akin done really well. I really do. I think at the start of the year, he seemed to be a shadow of a player that we did see him, in my opinion. I'm not saying he was rubbish, but I just didn't think he was as at that level where we've previously seen him. But since the last few weeks, I think he's been brilliant. He seems like he's got stronger. His reading of the game's a lot better. He seems to carry the ball a lot more, which, you know, he's confident and he's good at that, and he can do the odd crossfield ball. So, but yeah, I think with Akin being sort of looked to really by Deji as the sort of senior pro, and you know, because I don't know how many appearances Akin's had in his career, but he's not a seasoned professional now, so he's not over had like 300 games or whatever. So he's still fairly new-ish to the game as well. And I thought he helped Deji along the way. And listen, they got a clean sheet, didn't they? So he done very well, and he's done very well in the league as well.
Excellent stuff. Right, Phil says, hi guys, job done, exactly what we wanted. Stronger side than I expected, but thought they played the game as required. A bit of pressure at the back, but with 3-on-3, that was bound to happen. I would like a Championship side or a mid-table Premier League side at home to see how far we have come. One of the big boys could be demoralising if we were on the wrong end of a big score, although it may be unlikely if we stay disciplined, it is still possible. Tuesday will be interesting with managerless Ipswich coming to the Valley. Bit of a strange decision as they currently sit 4 places and 4 points above us, having had a slow start and with so many new faces. Surely a defeat to Barrow from League 2 can't justify that sort of reaction, with League 1 status presumably still being their priority. It was a draw. It weren't even a defeat as well. It was a draw, wasn't it, with Barrow? Right, 2 victories this week is probably our last chance to have any possibility of reaching the playoffs. Cheers for that, Phil. Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that Ipswich game in a few moments' time. McSquared said it was very much a case of job done, third round. Here we come on Friday, and for once we won live on the box. The match went pretty much as I'd expected. Gateshead started full throttle, threw everything they had at us, but didn't have enough quality to cause us serious problems. It was a very scrappy match, unsurprisingly, and Gateshead gave a good count in themselves. But at the end, our superior class prevailed. There were inevitably a few hairy moments. Generally speaking, the longer the match went on, the more in control we were, and a giant killing never really looked on the cards. It was by no means our best performance of the season, but ultimately it never had to be, and solidity was sufficient in the circumstances. If Nigel Sadkins had still been in charge, it's a match we probably would have lost. However, he wasn't, and with the J team now at the helm, banana skins are looking extremely unlikely. We're playing with the confidence to give anyone a good game. In the third round, promotion still has to be the priority, but a cup run won't do us any harm either, provided we don't pick up too many injuries. We're still in the Pizza Cup too, of course, but we can use that to give our reserves an under-23s a game. Even then, we're unlikely, extremely unlikely, to be on the end of a hiding, as the players are giving their all. After two wins in the space of a few days and Stockley now back to lead the line, we can go into the next home league game matches with renewed vigour. Come on, you Reds. He says, let's hope that Adam Shearer was impressed too. Excellent stuff. Right, it wasn't just in the Senior FA Cup that the Addicts got some progression this week. There was an under-18s Youth Cup game up at Northampton on Saturday. The Addicts winning by 6-0 with Daniel Canoe scoring a hat-trick. Jason Adigan, Miles Leeburn and Tyrese Campbell also on the score sheet as well. Under-18s boss Hamza Sarar was asked the question after the game on his performance, of his side's performance against Northampton in the Youth Cup.
Yeah, I thought the performance was really good, considering that we've prepared for them to play a back three. But they've surprised us with a back four. We also prepared for them to play out from the back a bit more, so we set up some traps to press. But surprisingly, they just went long. Credit to the boys, they've adapted quickly and found a way how to regain the ball centrally and then go on counter-attacking. A bit frustrating in the first half with the deep block. I thought we got the ball in good areas, some good crosses, but not clinical enough, or we didn't find our number nine enough. We adjusted that a little bit in the second half by being a bit more patient and trying to pull them out of the 18-yard zone to then go and attack the space. So really pleasing with the performance and, of course, the result.
Not just the result as well. I mean, especially the first half. The first goal started at the back, involved many players on the pitch as well. That must be good when you see a goal come to fruition like that.
Oh yeah, of course. Like, we do a lot of work in terms of patterns of play and how do we play out with our two number eights running in behind or coming inside. So we do a lot of work, and when you see it like this in a game like that and he comes off, it's really pleasing, not just for myself of course, but for the whole team, and it gives us more belief in what we do day in, day out, and hopefully we'll just keep that momentum going.
And through to the next round of the Youth Cup. This is a competition that the club really want to progress well in it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I said this to the boys from day one. We're here to win, and we need to develop that winning mentality. We have our saying in the academy of we live and die by this saying, which is you have to have a desire to win that is greater than the fear of losing, and that's our desire to win every single thing. And at the moment, we're in a run to win all three competition or four competitions, and we'll just keep doing so until hopefully we win whatever is in our way. So
there we go, progression then to the next round of the Youth Cup. Six. Now, I mean, there's some names in there. That Daniel Canoe seems to be picking up a lot of goals now, Nathan. I don't know if you watched a lot of the under-18s, but it's been a pattern over the last few years. We always seem to be bringing players through, and I mean, Canoe's up there. Adigun always seems to do well. Tyrese Campbell, I remember being impressed by him in years gone by as well. So there's certainly some hopeful players coming through in the next few years.
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, Daniel Canoe tucking again. You know, he's been banging him in quite a lot recently, and trying to keep it sort of quiet, I suppose. So there's no other sort of clubs out there with a higher cat status that he can go to. But he's done well, like you said, Jason Adigan. I played well last year when they had the little run. And obviously Tyrese Campbell can play out wide or play through the middle. So we've got some players. We have got some players, and it's that, what is it, that conveyor belt that we always seem to have. And it's always nice watching them. You know, they're not always streamed. We've got some good players, and it's if it's ever, you know, streamed live and you're not doing anything, it's definitely worth something to watch, because who knows? Because when if you watch, remember seeing Joe Gomez that level, Jordan Cousins was at that level. And it's always seeing in a few years they might actually be playing in the first team, and I hope they do.
Excellent stuff. Right, talking about first team, obviously we've got Ipswich coming up on Tuesday evening at the Valley. I mean, we do need to sort of get back on track. A couple of games without a win now in the league since that 2-0 victory over Plymouth last time out of the Valley. Obviously, we had the defeat at Shrewsbury and chucking away a 2-goal lead at Morecambe. So we do sort of need to get back to winning ways, and no better way to do it against a managerless Ipswich side who have, you know, gone, you know, turned out a lot of results well below expectations this level, Nave, or Tom, I should say. And I mean, the fact they've just sacked Paul Cook, will that play a significant part in this? You never really know what to expect with a team who are managerless, do you?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think it's probably come too soon for them to make too many changes. As I've said several times on this show, a lot of my family and my partner's family are Ipswich fans, and so I was speaking to them last night, and they said that with the amount of money they've spent, really, that's just been kind of hanging over his head, and the results haven't been there. And I think from the sound of it, he's a bit stubborn, a little bit like Nigel Adkins, really, just unwilling to change his formation and stuck to something that he trusted. And
he changes his voice more often than he changes his formation.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. And I think, it hasn't yielded the results they'd need. I know they're a little bit above us, but not by much. And yeah, I think he certainly wasn't as surprised as I was that he'd been sacked this quickly. It seemed like a bit of a shock to me, but speaking to the family, they weren't as surprised. As I say, I think it's probably come too soon for anybody else to put too much of a stamp on it. Just got to hope that they don't get their new manager bounce. And obviously the Valley's going to be full again, or pretty full like it was for that Plymouth game. So yeah, you've got to hope. We've had that little wobble away from home. We're back on home soil. We're going to have a big home crowd. We are coming off the back of a win, albeit against a non-league side. So yeah, if we can get a result there, then hopefully we'll look back at that Morecambe and Shrewsbury game as just a tiny little wobble and nothing more.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of team news, I think Piercy's got an opportunity to be back in this one. Whether he comes in to start is another matter. But having played pretty much a full strength side at Gateshead on Friday, obviously is just that extra day's rest that could help, Nathan. Are there too many changes you'd like to see bought in for this game with Ipswich at the Valley?
I don't know. I don't think there's much room for changing things for the sake of changing it. I think even before the Gateshead, I know we didn't have the right results against Shrewsbury and Morecambe, but we had, you know, that midfield three were playing well. Purriton's playing well. Sean Clare's playing well, but you know, he's doing a job there at centre half at the moment, playing really well. Even though he probably doesn't like playing there, he'll probably just say the usual of "I'm helping the team" and stuff, which is right enough, but. I don't think there's any need to change it, really. I think Stockers and Washington's obviously picked themselves for me. I think the main one really is going to be if Deji plays or if Piercy comes in. Because I mean, you look at Ipswich's side, they've got some players all over the park, let alone up top, who can hurt you regardless of where they are in the league. And they've they didn't manage to beat Barrow. So they've still got match winners in that team and who can really hurt us. So I don't know, I think that's the only position I'm wondering, really, is if Deji's going to play or Piercy. But I don't. Do you know who's taken over Ipswich? I know, ain't Francis Jeffers there as coach?
Franny Jeffers was going to move on as well. I think
Do you know who's there?
No, I was going to try and get it up. He was one of the backroom staff, I think. I saw he was going to take over. I need to get that up.
That'd have been banter. Francis Jeffers as manager, I never saw that coming.
Yeah, you'd struggle to see that happen, wouldn't you? At the moment, yeah, in fact, no, they haven't even confirmed who's going to be taken over, yeah, so that's why I can't remember the name, because they never confirmed who it's going to be. So extensive search, so they said, I will communicate more to the media and our supporters on Monday. So I guess either we'll find out a new manager or at least a caretaker manager in time for Tuesday's game. But, you know, we saw with Jackson, it is possible to get some ideas across very quickly. We just have to hope that doesn't happen.
I think my partner's dad said McGreal, who was the Colchester United manager, has joined them as coach recently. So he thinks he'll be taking over tomorrow night. Whether that's long term or not, I don't know. So, yeah, interesting to see what happens, well, I guess.
He won't be getting the job long term after the Addicts smack Ipswich 10-0 on Tuesday night, certainly. Right, we've come to the end of this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who got involved with the show. We just need to point out as well, the food bank is going to be collecting at the Valley Greenwich Food Bank for the next two games. The game on Tuesday against Ipswich and then on Saturday against Cambridge United. So make sure you bring down some items for that. There was a list of things that they sort of need you guys to bring. Ketchup was on there as well this year. So make sure you bring loads of bottles of ketchup and check out the Charlton website for more details of exactly the sort of items they need. But that's a Greenwich food bank coming down. Fruit juice, ketchup, biscuits, sugar, chocolate bars. There's plenty more items on that list as well. So make sure you bring down some of those and donate generously to the Greenwich Food Bank for the game coming up on Tuesday and on Saturday. Right, so yeah, thanks to those of you who've listened. Thanks to everyone who's got involved. Thank you to Tom and Nate for joining me this week.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, mate.
Good to speak to you, both of you. I'm Louis Mendes. We'll be back on Thursday to look back at the game with Ipswich and ahead to the game with Cambridge. We'll see you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.